Well, this evening I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would please, and open them to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and we're going to look at the very last words that Peter spoke to those people that he was writing to, as well as to you and I. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18 says this. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You so much that we can meet together in that name which is above every name. And we pray tonight, Heavenly Father, as we look into Your Word, that truly our Savior might be honored and that He might be glorified in our midst. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would lead us into the truth of Your Word. And Father, that You might compel us to practice what we learned tonight. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we would pray and ask all of these things. Amen. When my son Dwayne and I were in Calcutta, India, we stayed in a hotel that was called the Kenilworth Hotel. And when we arrived at this hotel in a taxi, a guard came out. And this guard had a mirror on a set of wheels. And he rolled that mirror underneath the taxi cab to check and see if there were any bombs, to check and see if there were any explosives. And then as we walked into the hotel where we were staying with our bags, they took our bags off from us and they ran it through one of these electronic things that checks for bombs and other things that you shouldn't have. And then we ourselves had to take our shoes off, and we had to pass through one of those things like you do at the airport, put your hand up in the air to check and make sure that we didn't have anything on us that we shouldn't have. Well, you know, they were doing what Peter is telling us to do in verse 17. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, look out for yourself." And Peter says to those of us who are saved, beloved, beware. The Apostle Peter is giving us fair warning to guard, to watch, and to keep ourselves from two things here in the 17th verse. First of all, Peter says to us, beware of being led away with the error of the wicked. Now, the wicked, the unlearned, the unstable are the false teachers that Peter mentions back in chapter 2. And the error of the false teachers are mainly these things. And these are things that we need to be aware of. These are things that we need to watch out for. First of all, false teachers exalt themselves instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any man who stands in the pulpit, any man who pretends to preach the Word of God, or any man who does preach the Word of God, his first and foremost thing is that he should glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt Him. Well, false teachers exalt themselves rather than Christ. They use great counterfeit words to lure people in. Their emphasis is on making money, and they claim to be able to change the lives of people. And Peter tells us that their lives are full of lust, full of sin. And they bring in their false teaching alongside true doctrine and replace that true doctrine with their false teaching. Secondly, in verse 17, Peter warns us about falling away from our own steadfastness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're commanded by God to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. we're commanded to stand where God placed us when He saved us. To stand in and for those things that God is leading us in. Now, you know, to fall from our own steadfastness does not mean to lose our salvation, but it means to fall from our steadfast position in the Word of God. Now, back in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says this, it says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as a light, take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." And then if you come to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, and verses 15 through 17, it says, And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, if you and I fall from these settled principles that we are living by and serving the Lord from, like obedience, separation, holiness, harmony, honesty, that means that we have fallen into lawlessness and into disobedience, either by our own vain thoughts or opinions, or by the vain thoughts or the opinions of other men. Now, come with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. And in that book, there's a couple of verses that I want to read for you. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. It says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, beloved, Peter is warning us against those false teachers, those false professors who come in and try to lead us away from the truth. But he's also warning us not to fall from our own steadfastness, from that position that Christ put us in when He saved us. And in order not to fall from our own steadfastness, we need to be like a group of people that are mentioned in Acts chapter 17. These people are called Bereans. And the Bereans were a type of people that searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things that they were being taught was true and right according to the Word of God. And so Peter is warning us to guard, to watch our own steadfastness. Now, Peter has warned us, beloved, beware of being led away with the error of the wicked. And he's warned us about falling away from our own steadfastness. And now in verse 18, Peter tells us how you and I can properly guard and watch and keep ourselves from falling into the things that he just warned us about. And so notice what verse 18 says. Verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Now, beloved, verse 18 says, "Grow in grace and in knowledge." Now, to grow in grace means to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have more and more influence over us, in us, and through us. And to grow in knowledge means to possess the views or the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ in His person and in His character and in His work. Now, there are three things that I want you to look at with me that show us how we can grow in God's grace and in His knowledge. And the first thing that I want us to look at are some evidences of growth that are supposed to be growth in knowledge, but they're really not. And so notice what some of these things. First of all, a lot of times we say when a person is actively involved in Christian service and is working for the Lord, that person is really growing in God's grace and in His knowledge. And very often we look at people and they say, well, they've got an increased mental knowledge of spiritual truths, and that must mean that they're growing in God's grace and in their knowledge. And then often we look at people and they're speaking in the language of fully grown Christians, and we say, boy, they're really growing in God's grace and in His knowledge. And very often, people will stand and they will pray publicly, and they're very proficient in public prayer, and we say, look at that guy. He's growing in God's grace and in His knowledge. But, beloved, growth in grace and knowledge starts on the inside. Growth and grace in God's knowledge starts in the heart. It's an inward change. It's a progression. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man, if any woman be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so, to grow in God's grace and in His knowledge is a progression. And it starts in my heart, and it starts in your heart. And yes, it will manifest itself in various ways outwardly. Now, the second thing that I want to share with you about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are some clear evidences that growth is taking place. First of all, self decreases. Christ increases. You remember John the Baptist in John chapter 3? John the Baptist was baptizing people. The Lord Jesus was baptizing people. And you remember that the disciples of John the Baptist came to him and was talking to him about the Lord and were saying, all men are coming to the Lord Jesus. All men are following after Him. And they were jealous. Do you remember what John said to his disciples? He must increase, but I must decrease. You know, beloved people, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the first proof that we are growing in God's grace and in His knowledge is that self decreases and Christ Himself in our lives increases. Secondly, a sincere desire not to be seen of men ought to be evident in my life and in your life if we're growing in God's grace and in His knowledge. Come with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And I'd like you to notice the first 8 verses of that chapter. This, of course, is the great Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking and He's saying, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And so there should be a sincere desire on my part and on your part not to be noticed by, not to be seen of men. And then a third thing that proves that we're growing in God's grace and in His knowledge is an increased weaning away from the world and its system. And Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then it talks about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And all of us, as people in the flesh, revel in these things. But if we're growing in God's grace and in His knowledge, we're going to back away from those things of the world. And then, fourthly, a sharing of Christ's compassion for the lost. In Matthew chapter 9, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ going through the villages, healing the sick, healing the lame. And as Jesus was doing that, He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And when Jesus looked upon those multitudes that He was ministering to, He said, there are sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He may send laborers into His harvest field. And oh, beloved, if we're growing in God's grace and in His knowledge, we should have His compassion for the men and women who are lost. When I was in India a few months ago, my heart just went out to those people. Everywhere you go, there are thousands of people on the sidewalks, in the streets. There are beggars. There are people living in abstract poverty. And I so much wish that I could speak the Bengali language. And I so much wish that I could have grabbed a whole armful of those people and told them about the Lord Jesus Christ. India is a very dark place. And yet, beloved, I want you to know that there are men there, Indian men, who love Jesus Christ. Indian men who are exalting the Savior and preaching the gospel to as many people as they can reach. And so, beloved, if we're growing in God's grace and in His knowledge, we need to share His compassion for the lost. And then fifthly, we need to give ourselves to having Christ's mind. Oh, how important that is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And beloved, the only way that I can have the mind of Christ, the only way that you can have the mind of Christ, is to be in His Word on a daily basis, to study it, to hear it, to learn it, to keep it, to do it. And then sixthly, growing in grace and knowledge will not allow us to be moved by the trials and the testings and the temptations that comes into our lives. All of us have gone through deep waters. All of us have walked through the fire. This church has gone through times of testing. This church has walked through the fire. But you know, beloved, when those times come into my life and into your life and into the life of this church, Did you know that God has designed them to bring us closer to Himself? It says in James chapter 1, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Why? Because God is teaching us something. God is drawing us closer to Him through those trials and through those tribulations. And does it not say in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall come out like gold. If we allow ourselves to be drawn closer to the Lord our God. And then thirdly, beloved, I want us to notice how we are to grow in God's grace and in His knowledge. First, if you and I are going to grow in God's grace and in His knowledge, we have to have life. We can't grow in God's grace and in His knowledge until we're born again. And so if there's someone here tonight who's not been born again, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd call upon you to confess your sins, to believe in Him. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the Bible goes on to say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so to grow in God's grace, first of all, we've got to have life, eternal life, the life that Jesus gives us. Secondly, to grow in grace, we need to have the care of others and the comfort of home. A baby is entirely dependent upon its parents. And you know, newborn babies in the Lord Jesus Christ need care. They need spiritual care. They need foster parents. They need the comfort and the help of a good local New Testament church. In fact, doesn't the book of Hebrews chapter 10 tell us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but to assemble, to encourage one another, to edify one another, to build each other up in the faith. You know, people who are, I guess you could call them spiritual tramps and religious gypsies, they never grow. Why? Because they're always going this place and that place, and they're never connected. They're never part of a local New Testament church. And so, to grow in God's grace, we need the care of others, and we need the comfort of a home church. And then thirdly, to grow, we must have plenty of rest and sleep. Did you know that sleep is not a luxury? It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's something that every one of us need. And did you know that we spend about one-third of our lives sleeping or resting? You know, beloved, before we can become strong, growing Christians, we need to rest on the promises of God. And there are thousands of promises in the Word of God. And we need to know what those promises are, and we need to rest in those promises. Philippians 4 and verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And so, beloved, we need plenty of rest. We need to rest in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to allow Him to carry us as we walk this pilgrim's way. And then fourthly, to grow, we must have plenty of fresh air. Prayer is the Christian's fresh air and vital breath. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I enjoy so much having times of prayer with my wife, Doris. I enjoy so much sitting together, opening the Word of God, reading it together, and then having a time of prayer. And during that time of prayer, we pray for you. We pray for our pastor, your pastor, Alan Mitchell, and we pray for our pastor too, Tom Logston. Prayer is the fresh air of the Christian's life. And did you know that a prayerless Christian will always be stunted in his growth? What did the psalmist say? What was his prescription for our growth in grace and in knowledge? Evening and morning and noon will I pray. Oh, beloved people, pray, pray, pray. And God will bless this church beyond your imagination. Pray. And then fifthly, to grow, we must have plenty of food. We grow by what we eat. And the Word of God is the food of the mighty. And if we grow, we must have plenty of the Word of God. Now, there's some scriptures that I want you to look at with me. First of all, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the Word." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1, Moses is speaking and he says unto all Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances of God, that ye may learn them and keep and do them." And then if you'd come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And I'd like us to look at verse 3 of that chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 8. Well, I want to start at verse 2. Moses is speaking to Israel. They're about ready to go into the promised land. And he says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." If we want to live life to the fullest, if we want direction, if we want to know God's will for our lives, if we want to honor and glorify Him, then we've got to have plenty of food. We've got to have a lot of the Word of God coming into our minds and into our hearts. And then sixthly, to grow we must have plenty of exercise. There must be exercise of open confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then there needs to be the exercise of soul winning. We need to be talking to people that we rub shoulders with every day. We simply need to give them our testimony and tell them what God has been doing in our lives. And that'll open up the door for us to be able to witness to them. When we were flying from the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota, to Los Angeles, California, I was sitting next to a man. I found out that he was a Roman Catholic. And so we struck up a conversation and started talking about our families. Pretty soon, things started to come around to the Lord Jesus. And I asked that man what he thought about the Lord Jesus. And he said, well, it's like this. He said, I think, you know, of a big wheel. And he said, that big wheel has spokes in it. And it leads to the center. And those spokes are all kinds of religion that lead to the same thing, the salvation, the way to heaven. And I said, well, you know what I like to think of? I like to think of a great wheel. And I like to think of all of those spokes. But I like to think of Jesus Christ being in the center. And I would like to think that each one of those spokes that leads to the Lord Jesus are saying this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I said to him, Jesus is the only way. The conversation ended. He no longer wanted to talk about our Savior. But I thank God for the opportunity that I had to share the Lord Jesus with this man. And then there needs to be the exercise of generous giving of our time, our talents, and our finance. And the spiritual exercise of all three of those things will result in growth, in grace, and knowledge. You know, this church is full of a lot of talented people. Jesus Himself has gifted you. And you need to take those gifts and you need to use them for His honor and for His glory. And I know that many of you are. Well, lastly, to grow, we must go on growing until we see the Lord Jesus face to face. We don't stop. We keep on going. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Jesus has begun a good work in me. He's begun a good work in you. And you need to allow Him to continue that good work until we see Him face to face. And oh, what a glorious thing that will be. Because when you and I see Jesus face to face, we're going to be changed. We're going to be made like Him fully. We're going to have bodies like His glorious body. And you and I will be able to communicate with Him and tell Him from the heart how much we love Him, how much we appreciate all of the things that He did for us on the cross. And so, beloved, Peter said, beware of being led astray by the error of the wicked and falling away from your own steadfastness. And then he goes on to encourage us to grow in Christ's grace and in His knowledge. I appreciated so much the hymn that Brother Lynn led us in at the beginning of the service, which talked about the grace of God in all of our lives if we know Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer together. Father, we thank You so much again for Your word. And Father, we pray and ask that you would help us to be on guard and to beware of allowing those who have a smooth speech, those, Father, who come in and try to lead us down the wrong path, that we might be aware of this. And Father, I pray that you would help us as well to look after our own steadfastness. I pray that we might stand firm upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the foundation of his word. And Father, as we do so, I pray that you would help us as your people to grow and to grow and to grow in your grace and in your knowledge. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.